This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally. Toll free at 1-800-447-4463. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
All right, welcome to the Party Line program. Here we are on a wet Wednesday. I want to thank our sponsors to start off. We've got BoonCountyDailyNews.com, TC Trailers, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College, your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps, Big Deals, Encompass Credit Union, Welty Custom Exteriors, Virk's Fine Jewelry, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Plus our telecast online, back at it at HoosierLandTV.com this morning. Always made possible by Ellis Jewelers, the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Wilson Farm Market, Ye Old Spirit Shop, Probite Computers, 51 West Event Center, BCS in Michigan Town, Genda Funeral Home, and Albecues in Flora. I'm Kevin Keefe, and I've just always, we used to text each other each morning to see if she would be on, but I'm just always expecting Melissa Miller to be available every weekday morning, and there you are.
Right, yeah.
How you doing?
Not too bad, just watching it snow.
Yeah. Did it start real hot and heavy about 45 minutes ago?
We had some really big flakes that lasted for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But now they've gone down to just a normal snow, but it's really thick.
Yeah, it is wet
snow. Visibility's, yeah, about a quarter of a mile.
When we, right before Party Line, Ken and I were outside taking a look at everything, and I like to, if I'm staying here at the station or going to be here during a snowstorm, I like to take a shovel and keep just one little path shoveled off so I can see how deep it actually gets as it goes throughout the day and night. So I've taken my first swipe with the shovel. We've got a full program for you here as we have Stephen Deckard coming up at 9 o'clock with EMS. And we've got Jason Forsyth going to join us here on Party Line and get a road report here in just a moment. First, we're going to check the Skywatch weather forecast.
Weather's hot or cold. No reason to freeze or burn your knees because you weren't at home. Weather, here's a weatherman.
He's talking to you and all of his crew.
While you can.
I wanted to check the National Weather Service to see if they've updated anything. It sort of looks like they have for today. Snow accumulation 4 to 8 inches and a steady temperature around 32. And that snow may be heavy at times, which it is right now. Maybe another inch of snow tonight. Cold and a low 30 and snow showers tomorrow. Total snow accumulations, that's still the same. They've not changed that. 6 to 10 inches possible, cold, and daytime high tomorrow only at 28, and cloudy and cold, a high 34 on Friday with a chance of more snow showers and maybe a light accumulation on Friday. Going to be windy and blustery. It's 32 now from your official weather station, WILO. And again, we always appreciate everyone's time and appreciate Jason Forsyth giving us a call this morning. Jason, thanks for the phone call.
Good morning, Kevin. Melissa, how are you guys today?
Doing good.
Just fine.
Getting through it here. I think it actually came in, Jason, a little later than we were expecting. I kept waiting for everything to roll in around 1 or 2 in the morning, and I got up about 4:30, and it had just started about then.
Yeah, we didn't get much before 7 a.m. today, and then I think it picked up pretty good about, like you said, about 35, 40 minutes ago. We were out, I started my night shift last night for obvious reasons. They'll be on nights for now through February, but so that was coming in handy for us. We really salted the intersections, the main intersections, as well as we could, and we're kind of letting those work right now. We've got two trucks in every quadrant of the city. We got a couple loaders out in the doing the cul-de-sacs and things like that too, but kind of letting the mains set a little bit. Let that salt work right now, 32 degrees, that's the best time for that salt to work. So we're letting that work on the mains for a little bit, and then we'll go back in and scrape those later on. But we're working on all the side roads right now with two in every quadrant. So It came in a little bit later.
That would really seem to get the job done if you have two trucks that are operating well in each quadrant. That would probably cover things pretty well.
Yeah, a lot of times what we do, I think we kind of do the side roads split up a little bit, but when we get into the mains, we'll kind of piggyback on each other, kind of one follow the other one. It seems to get things done fairly quickly, and we cover the areas we need to cover, and we don't miss anything. So, but yeah, we got everything, like I said, and the cul-de-sacs will be taken care of, and then downtown we salted really good. We'll have a loader and probably end up using our snow box here later on this morning once things get going and get the salt works a little bit up there. So we'll have another loader up there with that snow box I spoke about in the past. It's really nice to have. We hold it up there at the sewer department all the time right outside the gate, so it's nice to have that.
What is the snow box for those who don't know?
It's a large 14-foot, basically looks like a 14-foot plow, but it's really deep and tall, and you can clear downtown in probably more than half the time that it used to take us to do it with just plows. Now.
I've seen that downtown. Yeah. It almost looks like a little ATV or something.
Well, this actually, it hooks on the front of our loaders.
Okay,
it's
an
attachment,
what it is. Yeah.
Kevin. And you can, if you ever want to take a look, we always keep it up. Jim Spears is nice enough to let us keep it up there outside his gate in front of the sewer department during the winter time. We just go up there. It takes about 2-3 minutes to hook it up to the loader. And like I said, we can move snow much quicker on downtown and get that cleared up pretty quick. Obviously today, I think the county's still working. I just drove downtown and they're still working today. I'm not sure if they'll work all day or what their plans are, but when it's empty up there, I mean, you can clear that downtown in pretty quick time. So
yeah, that's good.
Nice to have that.
Yeah, basically, Jason, it looks like a giant metal box with one side missing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
It's massive, and like we've had that since I think right before I came on in 2015, and we've utilized it. Obviously, it doesn't work. You know, we don't use it for the smaller snows, but for snows like this, some we've had last year, it works out really nice, and we can clear it up pretty quick uptown. So,
you know, I think having that snow in the intersections, I think that is a big thing to think about right at the beginning when we do have these systems moving in. And like you said, that's one of the first things you did, because those intersections can those become the slickest and the ones that cause us the most headaches.
Yep.
And if you can get some salt down, especially early, and give us all a better chance to stop instead of sliding through those intersections, it's a good thing.
Yeah, when I came in this morning, all the intersections that I drove through on Hoke and Mash and things like that, everything was really melted off. And obviously, it's a little covered now, but what it does is cars, it helped, and the cars help us get that. They take that salt down the roadway a little bit, and it helps us even more. So we get a little traffic on that. We don't get in a big hurry to plow those main intersections, especially when temperatures are what they are today. It just helps us. Once we plow them off, then, you know, obviously you're going to continue to get snow, but it really comes off nice and things like that. But we try to leave those alone, let that salt work a little bit for us.
What are you guys looking at over the next day or two? You said you brought some guys in and started the night shift last night. That'll be running for probably a month or so. You guys will be pretty busy the next couple of days still, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we obviously have everything up and running really well. Like I said, I have 5 guys on night shift now with a mechanic, and if the mechanic doesn't have much going on, then he hops in a plow. So that'll help us, you know, prevent maybe some overtime if we don't need it. I would assume probably day shift today will probably work a little longer than their normal scheduled 8 hours. I think this is supposed to run until 4 or so, a little bit after that. And then on and off the rest of the week, obviously we got a lot of snow coming in, but hopefully it works out for us where, you know, we can cover it just with the day and the night shift. We don't have to bring in guys or keep them over too late or bring them in early. Off the night shift either. So, but you know, you never know what Mother Nature is going to bring us. But we are prepared, and having that night shift is nice because when you go home and go to bed, and you know, a lot of times we'll wait for a call or something like that from the police department. Sometimes we get behind the eight ball there. And having those guys already here is nice, and they can jump right on it and get going. They're going to be working a Sunday through Thursday 10 to 7 shift. So obviously you have a few days in there that, you know, if things get a little nasty, we'll have to make some calls and have guys come in. But it does cover a lot of our time having those guys out there as well. So it's nice to have that. We don't keep them on very long. You know, I get them back on their regular normal shift as quick as possible. But there is guys that actually like to work that night shift. And
You can change the pace.
When they're not plowing snow, they're going to be doing some patching. We've got some stuff inside the department that needs to be done that we're going to do. So we keep them busy, but it is a nice thing to have if you get something that pops up, you know, 2-3 inches in the middle of the night that you're not aware of or things like that, because that happens quite often, that they'll be here for that, and they can get out and salt ahead of time and make sure everything's ready when the kids going to get ready to go to school and things like that. So.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you being available this morning, Jason. And if you need to, give us a call anytime, and anything you need us to know before we let you go.
I think, like I said, you know, just if you can park off the road, like we always talk about, you know, in your driveways, try to clear everything up for us. And I would say probably in the next couple hours, we'll probably start working on the mains. But, you know, just so everybody knows what we're doing, we're not disregarding the mains. We just don't want to lay salt and then turn around and plow it up right away. So
right,
we'll let it
right.
work a little bit. So
yeah, you got a lot of work.
Other than that, everybody just needs to stay safe and be careful. It's slick, and like Melissa said, it's a real heavy, wet snow. And when it slushes up a little bit, it kind of pull your car one way or another. And so we want everyone to be safe and be careful. But yeah, so far so good. Everything seems to be going okay.
All right. Well, Jason Forsythe, thanks for your time, and we'll catch you real soon.
All right. You guys take care.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate him being available. As they were pretty much ready for this, Melissa, as we talked to Jason a few weeks ago, they had several tons of salt, and I think we're good to go there. So
yeah, they've laid in pretty good, and like he said, county's out, they're working. I've seen them down up and down the side roads here, and they actually, one of them went by my house heading for the next one.
Oh, good.
And the state highway has finally come out here. A lot of people get upset because, you know, especially when they live out here in the country, and they'll say, you know, why haven't the highways been plowed? Well, they forget that Clinton County has one of the largest, you know, next to Marion County and some of the larger cities, we have one of the largest stretches of 65.
True.
Of any of the counties around. So our state highway in Clinton County, the one that's housed with us, their responsibility is out there first.
And does NDOT have
so,
some of that,
you know,
too?
They get it done.
Does NDOT have much responsibility
that is,
for that? Do they kind of tag team
NDOT.
It? Yeah, yeah. I thought
it is
we were
NDOT, but we have, like, our crews. NDOT has crews stationed in different counties. So, but our crew in Clinton County has an extremely large stretch of 65. That they have to take care of. And then they've also got 52, which is a state road. You know, and they try and take care of those. 31 is in Howard County and Tifton County. So, you know, they got to take care of those. So it's a little bit before we see them on 29 or 38 or 39, you know.
Right.
And 26 and 28 are priorities over the other highways in the county. Because those are highways that actually connect major cities. So
they go all the way
they'll
through
hit 28. They'll hit 28 and 26 before they'll hit, well, like 29 in front of my house. So they just went down about a half an hour ago, and he hasn't turned to come back yet. So he should be coming back here anytime past my house. So.
All right. Well,
but
I know
traffic out here is only moving about 35-40 mile an hour.
Yeah, and that's probably about as fast as they need to move too.
Yeah, they don't need to be going
it's,
any faster.
Yeah,
and that's on what's been plowed.
Right, exactly. It's still coming down pretty heavy in Frankfort at this moment, and I think it's gonna, if you look at radar, it's kinda weird because everything's pink. You know, it's like the whole entire state is getting something at the moment.
Yeah, everybody's getting some kind of precipitation. The majority from Indianapolis north is all snow. But some of the heaviest bands are staying. I mean, Indianapolis is kind of like the center peg for all of this.
Mm-hmm. I think Stubby said yesterday they were pretty much the bullseye.
Yeah, and that's, if you look at the map and you look at the waves of snow, if you've got the blue colors on your radar, the darkest blue, of course, is the heaviest snow. And you can see Indianapolis does look like a bullseye.
Right. Right in the middle, and it usually goes north or south, one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got about 8 minutes left in the first portion of the program here at 659-3338. We'd love to talk to anyone who would like to talk to us. If you've got a road report, or you've been out and about, or you're just enjoying the coffee on your porch, watching it this morning, maybe, give us a call. I've been kind of piling up some topics that I wanted to discuss, and I know, you know, we don't want to get into a big, heavy discussion here with just 8 minutes, but there's a couple things that I wanted to bring up and just talk about, and maybe it'll spur some conversation. But you know, Melissa, that I'm a history buff.
Sure.
And I love to read about just about any kind of history, particularly state of Indiana history and how we got to be where we are. And if you recall, about a month or two ago, we were talking about the ruts that are on a couple of the city streets in Frankfort, particularly Barner here, as you're driving. Mm-hmm. Driving what would be Never Eat Shredded Wheat East on Barner, down here in front of the radio station. You've got those ruts at a couple places. And the discussion was, somebody asked the question on Facebook, and they said that it was just lazy road pavers. When they paved it, they didn't cover up the train tracks. Well, that got us thinking a little bit. Russ Casper called up and said it was actually the interurban tracks.
Right.
And I got to reading up over the last week or so about interurbans and what they were and what they did. And from what I've gathered, it was a good idea at the time. And I think it was something that was pretty popular for 20 to 30 to maybe even 40 years. But to me, you know, you had the trains that had come on the scene 30 or 40 years earlier in the 1840s or so. And then you have the interurban coming into all kinds of little communities and big communities in the 1870s, 1880s, from what I've gathered on reading in Indiana.
Right.
And it just seems like everything stopped when, you know, a few more people were buying cars and the roads were in a little better shape. Somewhere around the 30s or 40s, and maybe the Depression had something to do with that too, I don't know. But it just seems like to me, the interurban, which is something that we hear very little about.
Right.
Even growing up and taking history classes and stuff, you know, it just, I didn't know about it. I feel like a little kid.
Yeah, you don't hear about it in smaller communities. I mean, and granted, Frankfurt's not little, but
right.
It's definitely a lot smaller than Lafayette or, you know, Kokomo. And both of them, especially Lafayette, had interurban.
Yeah.
I just
wondered if they'd always followed, and maybe someone out there remembers or knows, but I wonder if it always followed like the train tracks. Did they have their own individual tracks? I think they did. Because it would be going up and down Barner here.
They did. They had their own.
And that just seems like a big waste of money, yeah. You know, to go all over the state and then not replicate.
To an extent, but if you stop and think about it, back then when a lot of that started, that was, people didn't have their own horses, their own wagons, you know. That was the way they got around.
Mm-hmm.
It was either that or walk.
Right.
So,
or get you a horse or whatever. And again, you have to have the roads to get around. you know. So if the roads aren't in good shape, right, that doesn't matter if you've got a good wagon or not. But it just seems like a lot of money was sank into inner urbans, particularly in Indiana. And of course, there's the old inner urban office or loading area building is still here. It's on Main Street there at the corner of Main and Barner here. And you could tell, I think it's Gym City something now, maybe a brewery or something there. I apologize for not knowing, but you can look right at the building and tell it used to be a major hub for, you know, where people yeah would get on and go to Lafayette or Kokomo. And it's just weird for me to, I've never seen one. I've never seen an inner urban track. You know, I've never rode in one, obviously. I've never even seen one at a museum. So I've...
Well, and back when train travel actually started, it wasn't necessarily for humans. It was right more for freight.
Sure.
So, you know, the inner urbans was one of the ways that people got around.
People could get around, yeah.
Like you said, yeah, to, yeah, people to get around, and like maybe they didn't have a doctor back then, you know, in a small community, and they had to go to a larger community to get to the doctor, and that's the way they went.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I would love to talk to someone
who's... I think it helped with economic growth.
Road. You think it helped?
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to someone who's actually ridden on one, you know, or remembers it, or
I don't know though.
I don't know the last year. I think
I
had read recently.
It would be hard to find somebody that's still living that rode on one. My mom did.
Really?
Yeah, back when she was a little girl. Yeah, it actually went past her house.
Okay. I just think it would be cool to see, and there's probably some photos out there, and maybe some people can share some of those with me. I've just, you know, it's one of those things you don't think of, and it's in the past, and it'll probably never be here again. So we got to stop and look and think about it and everything. And, yeah, I think the early 40s was when they said that they kind of went out of, not out of business, but just there were other ways that were more efficient to get around. So that was my question,
right,
is, was the inner urban a
Carl
waste of money?
Carl would know about that or not.
I don't know. Carl's early to mid-70s, I think.
He's usually a wealth of information.
And he worked for the train company for several years, too. He was a railroad guy, so he might know. Yeah, I was thinking about Carl just yesterday. I wonder where he's been. I hope he's doing all right.
Yeah, it's been awfully quiet.
Yeah, it has been quiet without Carl, hasn't it?
Yeah. I am hoping he's doing fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Larry, too. If I don't hear from Larry every couple months, I start to get a little worried. And then we've still got our friend.
We haven't heard from Mike.
Mike, yeah. It's been a while since we've heard from Mike. And I've got a phone number for Mike, so I may have to give him a buzz here and see what's happening. One other thing I wanted to mention is we've had a lot of discussion recently about tracker factors, and a lot of us in the city of Frankfort see that on our electric bill, and sometimes we understand it and sometimes we don't, but we're looking at the tracker factors, and I think mine is usually just a couple dollars, if that. Sometimes it's 70 cents. But a lot of people have been asking me about it and asking me to explain it and how it works. And, of course, we had Kent Brewer on about a month ago with USB to explain it in the best terms he can. And, of course, Todd Corey, USB general manager, has talked about it before. And I think what happened was, if you go back several years to where we started the tracker factor, we had... I think, if I'm not mistaken, when we started it, we had Mayor Chris McBarnes. And I think Mayor McBarnes was such a good talker that he came on and explained it, and everyone seemed to understand what it was. And then Mayor McBarnes leaves, and we're all sitting around trying to figure out what the tracker factor exactly is. So I think that's what happened. It was just... We understood it when former Mayor McBarnes told us about it, but now we're we're all kind of wondering a little bit. Russ Casper, good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm pushing my luck here on the time. I know
that's all right.
Kind of hitting at the top of the hour. I just wanted to mention the PIP board had a fantastic meeting at the police department. We had a couple hours to sit down in the conference room and gave reports, and then had a nice tour of the police department. Have you ever been in the
police department? Never, ever even step foot in it. No.
Well, let me tell you a secret.
Okay.
When you drive by that beautiful, beautiful building, or when you walk in to the lobby of that beautiful building, you get the feeling that the police department is, they have a good facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, once you take a tour of what people having desks on top of each other and little cubby holes to store, you know, this or that. The
mm-hmm.
bicycles are stored in the hallway and downstairs in the basement. It is amazing how what was Frankfurt ranked in the safety ratings for the state.
I think the most recent one was fifth or seventh, something like that, maybe.
Well, they're fully staffed, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're ranked in the top 10 safest communities in the state of Indiana. It was just very enlightening to compare and contrast the outside compared to the inside. And I left with that tour. There is zero doubt in my mind the importance and necessity of a new police department. I mean, if anybody disagrees with me, join me in a tour. And if you don't see what I saw, you know, then you have scales over your eyes.
Well, we've had the chief on, obviously.
Hey, Russ, were there any changes to that building?
Well, internally, I think they...
After it was the library?
It was never a library.
It was the post office, right?
Yeah, it was never a library.
Okay, that one was the post office.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did they do any kind of remodeling to that before they turned it into the police department?
They did. They did put some walls up. Basically, what they did is they took some bigger rooms, mail sorting rooms, and so forth, and because of the offices and the inquiry rooms and the drug evidence room. They had to, by necessity, all these purposes, they had to make a lot of little rooms. So you know, you're ending up with very few rooms that have any size to them. There's one that particularly was interesting where, what do they have, 32 officers, is that right?
Something like that.
There's this one common area where there's, you know, I guess where they get their mail and everything, where, gosh, it's
pretty tight.
Bigger. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than the blue room, maybe twice as big, three times as big as the blue room. But if you expect to get, you know, 32 officers coming and going in there and kind of a common area, and, you know, throw another desk or two in there, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
So we should be very pleased that they're going to have a place to stretch out and do their job. And it's a credit to them, I think, that they have done such a good job with morale and staffing and effectiveness and top 10 ranking. To do what they have done is a tribute to each and every officer and also the leadership. There's no doubt in my mind.
You know, we've had Chief Shoemaker on as we do a couple times a month, and I've not met one person who says don't do that yet, you know.
Well, I'm going to try to get permission from Scott to take pictures because I was when we took the tour through there, I was a little reluctant to just keep snapping away because, you know, it's still a working police department. And
sure.
Yeah, I just didn't have permission. But once I get that, we'll put a story up. And also, We'll put. We came up with a lot of ideas, a lot of possible ideas.
That was my next question here. Yeah.
Yes, and we would love to have you, the listener, participate, and let's just green hat this thing. Obviously, there's going to be time to black hat it. You know, there's black hat and green hat. There's a time for green hatting, and then there's a time for black hatting.
Right.
Green hat is when you just keep dreaming and thinking, and nobody throws a snowball down your neck.
Right.
You know, you just think and dream, and there'll be time. Then once you get all these ideas together, then you can start to black hat it and say, well, yeah, you can't do this and you can't do that. One thing that's good is the way I understand it, and this is subject to review, but I don't think there's a lot of asbestos in that building.
Oh, good. Good.
Well,
there would have to be some, with it being so old, you know, and when they moved in there, they didn't know about the dangers of it and didn't do any remediation.
I guess they redid the boiler, which is still working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in great shape, but it's in okay shape, I guess. And so when they refurbished that, they completely replaced a lot of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Real quick, Russ, before we take a break, do you remember anything about, or do you remember Vern talking about the inner urban?
Leroy Good. I grew up right across the street, mm-hmm. the road from Leroy. And he used to talk about it some,
mm-hmm.
I listened to your conversation about that. I can't add or detract too much from what you said. I just know that's one of the reasons that Barner Street is wider is because there was an inner urban track there,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I think somebody was talking about it being kind of slow, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you want to go to Lafayette, you got to clunk your way past Mulberry and everything. It was kind of not real comfortable, I thought I heard.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see some of
it.
It'd be an adventure, wouldn't it?
Almost like a streetcar, you know, maybe
yeah.
wooden benches. I doubt if it had cloth benches. It was probably wooden benches. But here again, I would love to connect with somebody that maybe is a little boy or a little girl. They remember that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be. Well, that's what I'm hoping for, too. So we'll see what develops there. Well, thanks for the call, Russ. Give us a call back if you find some more downtime here.
You know, pretty soon, the only thing we're going to have left that doesn't go away are pockets, you know. everything else, you know, you get replaced and changes and pockets and radio.
Yeah, pockets and radio, yeah.
But
a lot of that you can put on your phone.
Yeah,
got your radio
yeah.
and everything else, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're on phones.
Yes, we are. All right, Russ, catch you real soon here.
Yep, take care.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll take a break and come right back with Stephen Deckard. He's coming up next here on Wylo's Party Line.